The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and yet you are coming to me?" Jesus said to him in reply, "Allow it for now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him. After Jesus was baptized, he came up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened for him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming upon him. And a voice from the heavens saying, "This is my beloved Son, for whom I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord.
Today we celebrate the baptism of the Lord. It's mentioned in all four Gospels. A pervasive question which appears many times in the scholarship looking at the baptism of the Lord wonders, did Jesus ever baptize anyone? There are only two short references. One, at the end of chapter 3 in the Gospel of John, where it says Jesus and his disciples were baptizing people at the River Jordan near Aenon. But then at the beginning of chapter 4, following that, it says Jesus and his disciples were baptizing, but Jesus himself did not baptize. Most scholars come to the conclusion that given the limited information we have, that in fact Jesus did not perform baptisms. It's rather interesting. It's a study for another conversation. The location of John baptizing is fairly settled by now. There was much wonderment about it for many years, but now it's near Jericho, just north of the Dead Sea. And that's a location in which many of you who were pilgrims in recent times went to that place in the Jordan River to renew your baptismal vows. And actually, a highlight of our last pilgrimage there was a parishioner, the only one in our group who was not baptized. And when we were in Galilee in the north, and it says Jesus came from Galilee south to Jericho. When we were in Galilee, he asked if he could be baptized in the Jordan River the next day. And so we baptized. Our community came together, we prayed, and entered the waters of the Jordan River and baptized Alec. And he's a member of the 930 community here every Sunday. It was the only time in all the times I've been there where we had a baptism in the River Jordan. The history of baptism is rather interesting. Even though John himself baptized Jesus, he did not become a disciple, which raises some interesting inquiry. Since he was so close to Jesus, why is it that he did not become a follower of Jesus? For after he had announced and pointed out to Jesus, he seems to move off the center of attention. The history of baptism should be of some interest to us. There was a rite of cleansing, a rite of purification, which is still prevalent in Orthodox Jewry. It was there prior to Jesus and the baptism that Jesus announced. The mikveh is a baptismal pool, kind of a cleansing, purification pool that many of you who have been to the Qumran have seen the mikveh there. But even if you go to Orthodox Jewish synagogues today, you will find a mikvah. It's a cleansing, it's a bath of cleansing, purification, and it was very much part of the life of Jesus. You'll notice in chapter 17 in the book of Luke, you will remember Jesus cures 10 lepers. And after he has cured them, he says, "Go and show yourselves to the priests," because they needed to be purified. They needed to go through the mikvah, because lepers were excluded. They were considered unclean and unacceptable. And therefore, even though they were healed, they had to go through this ritual of purification, which interestingly, Jesus himself did not observe. There is an incident in chapter 8 in the Gospel of Matthew where Jesus cures a leper and he touches the leper. There are many other places in a cure where Jesus will touch the person. You mustn't overlook that. The notion of touching means Jesus is unclean and Jesus should have to go through the ritual of purification at the temple. But he didn't. He didn't observe that part of Levitical law. Think again that John's baptism, therefore, following the mikvah, is a baptism of repentance. The people who want to be cleansed and renew their lives and to be cleansed of whatever made them unclean go out into the desert and are baptized by John. Which raises an interesting question. Why is it that the sinless Jesus would submit himself to a baptism of repentance among sinners, among people who were regarded as unclean? This is a radical statement of God's presence in Jesus Christ, that he enters into the humanity, the fullness of the humanity of those around him. He touches the unclean. He becomes part of the human condition. And when we face our humanity, when we look deep inside of ourselves, when we see our brokenness, then we enter the Jordan and we meet Jesus in the waters of renewal and the waters of purification. So the sense that we meet God in our brokenness and in our struggles and in our failures is a very important theological insight into why is it that Jesus, the sinless one, would submit himself to this ritual of purification, renewal in the Jordan River, baptized by John. There is something extremely true, authentic, and attractive about people who are human. I don't know if any of you have seen the movie The Two Popes, but in it, Bergoglio, the cardinal from Argentina, says he is not worthy to be pope. And he goes through a chronicle of all the great mistakes, significant mistakes he made in his life. Why he's not worthy, he's a sinner, he's an imperfect person. And yet it's the imperfect person that becomes most attractive to us. That's the person to whom we can relate. And that's the person that's chosen in God's providence. We are all called when we are imperfect. Even in recent times, you've seen in the news where Pope Francis slapped the woman's hand when she tried to cling to him. And then he goes to the major audience at St. Peter's and he apologizes for his impatience. He said even the Pope becomes impatient, which makes him extremely attractive to us because of his humanity. I like to remember a teaching moment that came to me some years ago. I was in San Francisco for a wedding, and On Friday night, they had the rehearsal dinner at an Italian restaurant. And everybody, it's very festive. They went on and on and on. But I'm at that age where I go home at a respectable hour. Since all these young people are festive and they're going on and on. So I went to the bride and groom and I said, now, I'm going to sneak out very quietly through the kitchen. Do not disturb the party. So I ended out on the streets of San Francisco at 10 o'clock on Friday night, dressed in my clericals, looking for a cab. So finally, this cab stopped, and I got in the front seat, an African-American driver. I could see his name was Damien. So I said, I want to go to the vintage court over on Bush Street. He said, fine, hi, Father. You're my first fare tonight. I said, wow. He said, yep, I'll be working all night long. I said, gee, it's Damien. Working all night long in San Francisco on Friday night, you probably meet some weird people. And he said to me, Father, if you've been driving a cab as long as I have, you learn to make allowances for people. I said, Damien, you should come and preach in our church. I mean, the sheer humanity of it, the sense of accepting people the way they are, the sense of seeing blessing in people, made the moment holy so much that I still remember it as a teaching moment for me. Well, today is a teaching day for me, and many of you, maybe all of you, know that today is my birthday. I am 80 years old today. I know. Right. Thank you. Thank you. I know it's a kind of a miracle, but there it is. And here's the way I'm going to make the gospel, which we have proclaimed today, come alive on my birthday. I have the 11:15 Mass after this, and thereafter, I will take communion to Father Nile, and then I'll take communion up to the Huntingdon Hospital because I promised to do so. And after that, I will follow what has been traditional on my birthday. I will go on retreat for the rest of the day. So I'll be alone, and I'll sit, and I'll walk slowly, and I'll write a journal, something I do. I write a journal of the salient moments of my life. I write a journal of the great failures in my life. I'll remember the great failures of my life. I will remember the successes, the blessings. I'll remember the burdens. I will remember the anxieties of my life, the loneliness, the emptiness, the searching, the questioning of my life. I will remember these salient, liminal moments, and I write a journal about my journey in life. It is as if I'm going into the River Jordan, into the sea of humanity, and in the sea of humanity, embracing the fullness of who I am, imperfect and yet enlightened, searching for answers that I'm supposed to have. Imperfect, even though people think that the priest is somewhat close to perfect, not quite perfect, but close to it. And it's in this wonder of being fully human that we encounter Jesus Christ. So that will make it prayer day for me. It's a day in which I will chronicle the journey of my life, the highs, the lows, the great moments, the sad moments, but the journey of my life. And in so doing, somehow I'll feel I'm in the waters of the River Jordan, and that's in my humanity where I will meet Jesus Christ. Amen.